This is Mandy.
And this is Leanne.
And you're listening to Two Blonde Sleuths. All right, we're at episode 23.
Yay!
Again. Oh my God. We're spending too much time together. We're laughing and talking at the same time. So, yes, we tried to record last week, and we tried to do it remotely because Liam was out of town, and it didn't sound...
It was an epic fail.
So, we are going to have to get some software.
Yeah.
I had a list. Nothing's wrong with that.
No.
But I just don't have one.
Yeah.
So, we wanted to be authentic, right?
You wanted to be Liam.
So, today, I'm going to tell another story. It's going to be my turn again because episode 22, I told the story of Amanda Tusing, and there is some things that were out there when I was researching that story that people think that these could be connected, and so I wanted to tell this story as well, and then you can see what you think, Leanne, and see what the listeners think.
Yeah.
Again, about if they think they're connected at all. So here we go.
Mm-hmm.
This is the murder of Dana Stidham.
And I had never heard of this. I mean, I had never heard of it.
It didn't, but it did last week.
Yeah. I've heard of it for so many times.
This isn't a surprise but I'm going to tell the story.
But I had never heard of this story, which is odd if they had a Dateline.
They did.
I've seen all 100 and million.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite person? Keith Morrison?
Yeah.
You left.
Yeah.
Remember when I was like, bought you something with Keith Morrison on it, or I was going to buy you something, and you were like,
no, I downloaded the Waze app because he was best on it.
Oh, yeah.
I lived in Florida. It was the best. Like, it was like a dark, stormy night. And I was like, but God, it's just so cold. Tell me how to get home. It was Keith Morrison's voice.
That is really funny.
Okay.
Back on track. Sorry. Are we ADD? Get off.
So, this story is about Dana in 1989. Okay, that's when this story takes place. So this is an older story, older than Amanda's. Dana was 18 years old, and she had just graduated from Gravette High School in Arkansas. That's where she was from.
Mm-hmm.
She moved out from her parents into an apartment in Centerton. It's near the Arkansas-Missouri border. So she was thinking about going to college, but in the meantime, you know, she was thinking about what to study, things like that. I think she was just ready to get out on her own. And she lived with her brother, Larry, and a few friends. So on July 25th, 1989, Dana went back home to her parents.
Is that brother or boyfriend?
Brother.
Not her boyfriend. Yeah.
Her brother. So her parents lived about 10 minutes from her apartment. So it was like a little drive, not quite in the town she lived in, the neighboring town or something. And so she went to visit and do laundry that day. So she went over there, and her dad was not feeling well, and he asked Dana to pick up some medicine for him to run to the store. So she agreed, and she had no problem. So she ran to the store for him in Bella Vista. After stopping for gas, she headed into the store. She purchased Alka-Seltzer, dishwashing soap, and sugar. She visited with a few friends that worked there. The witness who was landscaping near said he saw Dana, but he saw her drive off, but he wasn't sure which direction she went. But she never returned home to her parents' house that afternoon. So, of course, they said she
never brought the medicine back.
And they said that Dana was very responsible, and that her parents, maybe when her mom got home from work that afternoon, because Dana's dad was home when she was there doing laundry. And I guess they started talking, and it just wasn't like her. She would have,
the laundry's still there.
I guess her laundry was in her car, but she had her laundry with her, but she would have at least called if she wasn't going to come back and bring us medicine. She knew he wasn't feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just knew it wasn't like her. She just didn't show back up. Of course, there wasn't cell phones, but so they couldn't call her like that. It was like your parents actually got worried when you didn't show up for hours. So they begin that search that night, and authorities were notified. The next morning, you know, they searched for Dana that night. No sign of her. No, you know,
like the authorities involved, or they're just looking on
their got the authorities involved, but I'm sure the authorities, and this is speculating here, but they probably weren't too worried because she's 18 years old at this time. She could have just not come home.
I mean, I don't think it was sidetracked or.
Yeah. And this is a small town where there's not a lot of crime. So they definitely didn't I don't think they got too worried. Well, the next day comes. I'm sure they contacted her brother, her friends at her apartment, her parents. They're really starting to worry. That's when they would probably have really started searching, right? Well, the next morning, about 6:30 a.m., a sheriff deputy, Karen Myers, was driving to work. She saw a gray Dodge car, which was the same kind of car Dana drove, parked on the side of the road. She saw a pickup truck with a detached camper parked behind it. The passenger side door was open, and there was a man kneeled behind the gray Dodge, like doing something, it looked like, with the tire or something like that. When she got to work, she learned of Dana's disappearance. She did not know about that. I guess she wasn't there the night before. So they returned to the scene, and they ran the license plate, and they discovered it was, in fact, Dana's. The pickup truck was gone. Her keys were in the ignition. The driver's side window was halfway down, like maybe she had rolled it down.
And talked to somebody?
Yes. The items that she purchased in the store were still in the car, and the receipt was stamped for 3:17 p.m., but her purse was missing. They didn't notice that. The left rear tire was a little flat, but not bad enough that the car could not still be driven. The driver's seat was also moved, like someone taller had driven her car. And this was kind of interesting. They knew the previous night, especially between 9 p.m. and midnight, her car was not on that stretch of road because they checked it.
I'd drive it around.
They drove every direction that she would have driven to go to the store, probably at least till midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew that car was not there the whole afternoon or night or since she went missing. The laundry that she was doing at her parents' house was not in her car. But 3 days later, it was found scattered along a stretch of road about 1,700 feet from where her car was abandoned.
I just find that really odd.
It's very odd.
I mean, just what's the point?
They just threw it out, I guess. They were like, maybe we want some of these clothes.
I don't know. It's weird.
Very weird. Then on August 5th, a local contacted police and said that they had let their dog out. I found this very interesting. He had come back with a denim purse in his mouth. Which I can remember the 90s, denim purse, like early 90s, late 80s, being very
interesting. First dog pack work one.
Oh, or you put the buttons on it.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the buttons?
Mm-hmm.
And you put on that, the sling cap that didn't like that. That like the shape like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The hats move.
Yeah. But it,
does it fit right
you,
here?
Did you put buttons on yours like a Johnny Depp and like
empty? Oh, yes, kind of buttons.
Yes. You could put them on the denim. So you could make it your own. All right, so the dog.
Yeah, you know I had a Johnny Depp one.
All right, so the dog comes back with a denim purse in his mouth, which is just, that's so funny to me. It sounds like something Franklin would do.
It feels made up. Not made
it
up.
It does sound made up.
Right into a movie.
Yeah, it totally sounds like an episode of some cheesy criminal show.
Yeah.
The dog comes back with a denim purse in his mouth. And it turns out.
I wonder what made the dog want to pick that up.
To be Dean's.
I don't.
But it was empty. So when they called the authorities, they came back and searched the area. And the contents of that were in the purse were actually spread out near where he found it. Her driver's license. I think some other, personal things were in it. It was found in the weeds along the roadside about a mile from where her car was found.
Okay.
It seemed like the purse was tossed out of a moving car.
Oh, they just threw.
Yeah, with the contents in it, it was probably unzipped. And because remember, they were zipped a lot of times.
That's what I'm talking about.
And you
did it right up under your arm.
Yeah. They threw that out, is what they feel like. And the things came out of it, the belongings. So almost 2 months after she had been seen, on September 16th, Hunter came across some human remains. It says a seasonal creek bed. I read that somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I also read somewhere else it was in a shallow grave. They didn't say a creek bed. I think maybe it had been, the body had been buried. And then as it had rained in those 3 or 2 months,
mm-hmm.
It had uncovered it.
Okay.
So maybe there was a creek bed, or maybe it was anybody.
Maybe a person that buried her there didn't realize that it was a seasonal creek bed.
I think it's going to fill up with water and wash her up. I actually think that's exactly what happened. The remains were found in Benton County. The dental records later would confirm they were Dana's. The area was about 5 miles from where her car was found. The remains were mostly intact, but skeletal at this point. Investigators discovered a T-shirt with duct tape on it, and they found her jewelry. It seems someone had tried to bury her body, but the creek bed, of course, washed the dirt away. That's what I had written in my notes. They found the clothes she was wearing the day she disappeared nearby buried,
which I found interesting. And they buried her and buried her clothes separately?
Yeah, I think so.
Huh.
But they found a T-shirt that had duct tape on it, so maybe she had like one item still with her. It seemed that her bra had been cut,
mm-hmm.
which
of course,
made the children where we just unhooks.
Yeah, right. When her remains were brought in to be examined, they found her sternum was missing.
I don't even understand what that means, really.
Well, her sternum right here, yeah?
Yeah, and...
So how does that go missing? How does that...
I think that it was animal-related. That's my personal opinion that...
Because, okay, so if it was a shallow grave, any animal can go big...
Pick. But I'm thinking this where the sternum is it not attached to other things?
Yeah, but when you become skeletal, it I mean, detaches. So that's what happens. And if you're skeletal, we don't want to get into the details, but...
Oh, yeah, okay.
I think, no, yeah.
It's just one bone.
But they actually, since that was missing, they said that it was hard to determine her exact cause of death.
Only because that one piece was missing?
There was a nick on her left shoulder blade, which most likely caused from being stabbed. That they could see that, I guess.
Okay.
I think it's just honestly.
Couldn't tell, like, sexual assault.
No, I don't. At that point, I don't think I can. I really don't think you can. There was something a little bit different, though, about this case versus Amanda's.
Mm-hmm.
They actually had a suspect on this one.
Okay.
All right. Dana had a classmate named Michael, and I read his last name in reports, but I'm not going to say that. He had a big crush on Dana, according to her friends, and she did not feel the same way about him. The day she went missing and went to the store for her dad, she could have gone to a convenience store that was a lot closer to her parents' house, but she skipped it and went to the next store, I guess. And
maybe the first store didn't have an acid or whatever it was she was looking for.
Well, this is why they think she didn't go to that store.
Oh.
Because Michael's parents owned that store. And people said that, yeah, he hung around like the outside of the store. So she just didn't want to deal with him. She didn't want to deal with him. And so that's what her friends figured, that she avoided that store on purpose.
Okay.
He had been spotted the night Dana went missing at 3 a.m. driving around town. He had one alibi that said he was with an ex-girlfriend. Then that story changed and he had another alibi with another ex-girlfriend. And, you know, she confirmed the story that they were together, but later retracted it. I think he was just coming up with where he was.
I mean, it's weird people see people doing stuff at 3 and 4 in the morning. If you come at 3 and 4, I'm not going to turn you in because I promise you.
I will not see you at 3.
Yeah.
Fading when you're that age. I mean, we definitely, I don't know, nothing with open, but we definitely probably rode through Prattville at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, did we? I mean, we rode through Arrow, McDonald's, but
everything's closed.
McDonald's was closed.
I don't know. I just like at this point, I'm not a big person that turns you in at 3 o'clock in the morning.
No, but when you're young, not at this point, we're old now, but yeah.
Older.
And another thing about Michael that was odd is that he suddenly decided to join the Navy not long after Dana went missing. When earlier it had been known to everyone that he was avoiding them recruiting him.
So did he go into the Navy before her body was found?
Yes.
Just after she went missing,
he was found. Okay. He actually did. But so like that was pretty quick. Because what was it, 2 months?
That is pretty, yeah.
That's pretty. So, I mean, that's kind of odd. When everybody was like, he was avoiding them. And then all of a sudden he's like, yep, ready to go.
So then one time when he was on leave, he got arrested for stealing Dana's temporary headstone off her grave.
Which I find really odd.
Yeah. I mean, his reasoning for doing it was because he said he missed her funeral because he was gone and that he wanted a keepsake and that he knew it was just temporary. So he just...
I mean, like I would take that in our failed attempt at this episode.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's temporary, couldn't he have maybe just said, hey, if y'all want to throw that away, can I have it when you're done with it?
Yeah, like
later.
Deal it. But I guess he wanted to take it back home to the Navy with him. I don't know. There's more. Because you might have forgotten this since last week.
Anyway, they got a hold of the pickup truck that night that he had been driving, the night that she went missing, that he had been driving. I think,
I want to say I read somewhere it was his father's and it had been sold, which, you know, it's always really weird when they sell a car right after. Yeah, it's a little fishy.
And so they found some hairs in the car that could have been Dana's, but there wasn't any.
They couldn't make a sure match because
there wasn't like the tips of the hair.
The root?
The root.
Thank you. And I just think that, I mean, DNA, obviously in 89 or 90, it wasn't that great.
Yeah, they could probably do it now. They probably could do it now. You're right. They probably wouldn't need the root.
And I mean, you know, fingerprints, hair is about all they really could do with DNA. He was questioned by police, like, again,
when he's back home.
They noticed something he did. He always carried Dana's picture in his wallet, but not his own wife's. Because by this time, he had gotten married.
What if his wife never looked in his wallet? I'd be like, who the hell is this?
No.
But he probably was like, it's this girl I love that went to high school with and she passed away. So it's not, I mean, to me.
So I said, well, she's, I don't know. I mean, I think that's, I don't think that'd be.
If it was actually his girlfriend, but then that might even make it worse. But he, right?
It's this girl I had a huge crush on. That I really, not even really.
But that's okay because I never dated her.
And now she's murdered and haven't found her murderer yet.
And like, I'm a suspect.
Yeah.
But he failed a polygraph and even made a bizarre statement, which this is what really got it for me. When being interviewed, he said, sometimes I do think I killed Dana, but I don't know. I mean, he thinks he dreamed it, like,
in her
kind of show.
Blackbird, just don't say anything, dude.
There was just not enough evidence to charge Michael in her death. So this is when things kind of get strange and people start to think that there's some connection. All right, so Dana's death, of course, is still is unsolved, and years go by. So then in 2013, which, let me go back. I'm sorry. Amanda's disappearance and death happened in 2000. All right.
Okay.
So this is in 2013. Investigators said that they think Dana's murder could have a connection to a recent shooting victim. All right. So a 62-year-old man, Orville Goodwin, and he shot his girlfriend in the face and left her for dead in a ditch in the woods in Bella Vista in Arkansas.
Okay.
Which is very close. It's actually where the store was that she went to, that Dana went to.
Oh, okay.
And that was very close by, which you got to say, okay, 2013, let's do the math, 1989. So it was 24 years.
Yeah.
All right, so 24 years have gone by, but, I mean, is there not? All right, so he shot his girlfriend in the face and left her for dead in a ditch in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The victim actually survived, which is crazy. His girlfriend was in her 50s,
okay.
And she had recently lost her husband and, like, just... I don't know how recent. I mean, she's dating this guy now, but he...
Well, took him all pretty fast.
Yeah. He think he dirty johned her, and he conned her, and he was... You know, as soon as she gets, like, some money, collects a check, something like that, he robs her. So that was actually his motive. He took her... He robbed her and took her to the ditch and shot her in the face, but she survived, which is crazy. So they went... I think a hunter found her, too. Like, she was in the woods, and I don't know how many hours, and he found her, and... It was miraculous that she survived. At first, she didn't want to tell who it was. It was kind of sad, you know, that did this to her.
Embarrassed.
Yeah, a little embarrassed. And then she finally said, you know, that it was this Orville Goodwin.
Terrible.
Yeah. And so they went to his house. They found blood in his car and his clothes. So they knew he was the one that shot the girlfriend. But he probably didn't. Obviously, he wasn't scared because thought he was going to get away with it.
Oh, crap. She's alive?
Yeah, exactly. And something about this case.
Yeah.
Made them re-examine Dana's, which so far all I can think of is that, okay, so she was in a creek bed, a dry creek bed, mm-hmm. which we don't know if the guy that buried the body knew it was a creek bed.
Right.
And we're talking 24 years later, Amanda's case was 13 years in between. It was close, which you had asked me last week, mm-hmm. and I didn't have the exact thing written down, but you asked me the difference between where Dana's
was murdered.
Yeah, how far away?
From
where Amanda was murdered. And it was a 5-hour difference
to
from Bella Vista, which is also where this lady was shot in 2013, mm-hmm. to Dale, Arkansas, which is where Amanda's parents were from.
So Dana
mm-hmm.
and the shot in the face lady,
mm-hmm.
they were right there together. And Amanda was 5 hours away.
They were right there together, yes, but they were only 24 years apart,
right.
But in the same area.
So that's a connection for them.
I completely believe that there is more of a connection that they know that we do not know,
yeah.
that they are not telling us that they're holding.
Maybe Orville has some connection to where Amanda was that we don't know about.
I know, but
like, it's an area. Maybe it's like family there, or he was in the area when she was witnessing or something.
There is something that makes them think that it's a possibility. Because now you remember with Amanda, they thought it was the blue light killer was maybe a serial killer
mm-hmm.
and that he, you know, would pose as a policeman and pull these girls over, which has been done. That's been done in Auburn now. I mean,
I think that's not like a new scam.
Yeah, it's only a new scam. And that's also what made them think about Dana because our window was rolled down a little bit. But in both of them was no struggle in the car. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they got out fast, would he have pulled him out?
Because they both left their keys in the ignition.
But we know that Orville tried to murder the lady and shot in the face.
Right.
And they think that hers and Dana's family
are connected.
Because they're so close, exactly. I guess.
They're close together.
And then it's really all revolving around this Orville fella. Like,
yeah.
Okay, so what is, does he have any connection to Dana whatsoever? And does he have, beyond that, does he have any connection to the area where Amanda was?
Yeah, there was something that made them reexamine all the kids.
It got me something about him.
Something that we don't know. Yeah. Something that they know. And because when I was doing Amanda's, when I first read about the case, I didn't see anything about this. So then I watched one of Emma's favorite YouTubers that she does on true crime, because she did more on Amanda and I always try to watch it. And then she actually was the one that brought to my attention first that there could be a connection to Dana's and that there was a connection possibly to the shooting. And I was like, what? I was so confused. And so then I did more research and I saw that, because, you know, they're saying that Dana's in Orville, 2013 one might be connected, but you're like, well, where does Amanda come in?
Yeah.
But it does.
And unless they have a way to connect Orville.
I hate even saying his name.
I know.
Orville to
whatever the town was where she went missing.
Because Amanda,
they haven't announced. Like they know something, like you said, we don't know.
Yeah.
And there was
that area back then.
Dana's and Amanda's really wasn't that 1990 to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
It, I mean, that's far apart, but what if it's somebody that serial killer that's dormant for a while?
I think that's what they were thinking about this Orville fella.
Like, and he was posing as a policeman and he was a con man. And that, so I think, and there were similarities, a shallow grave.
I don't know if I'm past this.
Like if he was like a criminal, I had criminal history.
I think that
he did. We should, because he definitely was in.
He just made plenty of time.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. I was like, Rickenbacker.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Sorry. So you can do more research or watch the YouTuber. I can't actually remember her name, which one she is. Emma has like three that she's got saved on her YouTube when I go to it. And one of our favorites to watch. And
I guess this is still open though, right?
Yeah, well, it
comes out at some point.
Absolutely. It's not resolved. None of this. You know, with Amanda, they didn't, I mean, the boyfriend, but he wasn't really a suspect. It wasn't. Now, this Michael fella, he was a suspect and did some suspicious things, but nothing ever enough they could have tied him to.
Not criminal, exactly.
Yes.
Except for stealing the headstone. That's criminal, but, you know.
Yeah, that's all he really did that they could tie him to. So, next episode is going to be Leanne's turn, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to tell a story, and that'll be episode 24.
Yeah.
So, please like our pages, Instagram, Facebook. Please subscribe.
Rate, review.
Rate, review if it's nice.
Or don't
at all.
Yes.
If you can't find anything nice else. And if you're listening to this episode, when you decide to go back, if you decide you wanted to listen to more, just know that I feel like we've gotten better and better. And so bear with us if you go back to the first episodes, because
you can grow with us if you start from the beginning.
Yes, because it's a process. Learning all this, editing, sound quality.
Ooh.
So thank you so much for listening.
Yes, we'll be back next week.